Good morning, everyone. So great to see you all. I'm Connie Gemmer, a member of the class of 1980 and the president of the Alumni Association Board of Directors. Welcome, all of you, to the 94th annual meeting of the alumni of this wonderful college. I want to thank each of you who came from near and far to be here for your reunion weekend. This is such an exciting time for Connecticut College. We've launched our new century with great momentum, and the campaign for Connecticut College will provide $200 million to invest in our academic program and our historic campus. You can see the impact across the college. Yes. You can surely see the impact across the college, especially in the students who are eager to come here, the faculty who are eager to teach here, and the alumni whose connection to this college is stronger than ever. The proof is right here this morning with you. None of this would be possible without you. Your commitment, your alumni participation, friends of the college, thank you so much for all you do. It is my pleasure and distinct honor to introduce you to the college president, President Lee Higdon.
I guess we've got a number. This is I've been here 6 years now, and 5 years ago we had a number of you coming for your reunions, and so I think we've got a whole group of returners from the first reunion year we had. And before I get started, let me introduce my wife, Ann, who is my partner here. Ann. I hope that you have noticed the progress that we have made since you've been here the last time, 5 years ago. There is much that we have accomplished and a number of achievements. Today I'm going to give you a progress report on your alma mater, and I hope that you will see that despite the economy, we have great optimism about Connecticut College's future. So let me start. Six years ago when I came, I started a community conversation around the college's future. And I asked our many members of the community how they wanted Connecticut College thought of, how they wanted this institution characterized 5, 10 years, and beyond. And time and time again, the words that came back were, we want to have the very best experience, the very best student experience, an experience without equal. We want to be associated with excellence. We really want to be regarded as one of the very best liberal arts colleges in the land. And our improvement plan has been crafted around that collective shared vision of Connecticut College's future. And it really covers 4 major areas. Number one, we want to attract the very best people. We want to have the very best programs. We want to invest in our historic campus. And lastly, we want to build stronger bonds and connections and get the word out, because we think so many positive things are happening, get the word out about the college. An important factor in our momentum is the campaign, and Connie mentioned that you can see manifestations of the campaign throughout the campus, and when you talk to faculty, when you talk to staff, I think that they will tell you that the campaign has been very much in evidence. To date, we have raised a little over $173 million. I think with the gifts that we have in the pipeline, we are highly confident that we will end the year substantially above that. And effectively, it's been broken down into these three areas. About almost a third of the funds raised have gone towards endowment. A little over 20% has gone into campus renewal. And the last area, which is the annual fund and a host of strategic initiatives, new strategic initiatives, really covers the balance, about 45% of the total. So let me go into a little bit more detail about each of those areas. The first, and really in terms of endowment and programs, a very important factor for Connecticut College is enhancement and augmentation of financial aid. We all know, we can't escape it, we've had a devastating economy impact us in 2008 and 2009, and it's still with kind of a ripple effect is impacting us and businesses and families since that period. Prior to the recession, we had about 36% of our students on financial aid. Today, that number is about 43 to 44%. That's a substantial increase when you're looking at the relatively large numbers and the large amount of financial aid that Connecticut College distributes. And again, it's part of our values to provide the resources to support students and families for men and women to come to Connecticut College. And the good news here is that we've raised a substantial amount of money in endowed gifts and in the annual fund for gifts earmarked for financial aid, which has helped us greatly in terms of providing the funds necessary for the men and women to come here. We also have enhanced our international programs. We know that through technology and telecommunications, our world is getting ever smaller. And it is very, very important to infuse those global aspects, that cross-cultural fluency, into our courses and programs, as well as provide more opportunities for our students to study abroad, to do research abroad with our faculty or in other locations with other faculty. Critical. We have provided endowed funds to augment either faculty doing research abroad, our students conducting research, infusing more of that international flavor, international content into our programs and into our curricula. At the top, there is a picture of a class team taught by Professor Andy Leneux in Slavic studies. And on Skype is a class in Russia, in St. Petersburg, at the School of Economics. And there are Connecticut College students as you see in that picture. In the Skype picture, there actually is a Connecticut College student who was studying in St. Petersburg for that semester. In terms of our academic programs, the campaign, again, has been very, very successful in providing endowed funds for a number of our centers, the Goodwin Nearing Center, the Ammerman Center, which have been critical for our success as well. And too numerous to mention, other than to try to give you essentially the tops of the waves, there are a whole host of initiatives, new programs that we have put into place to provide more diversity, greater inclusiveness in terms of our community. We just graduated our first group of science leaders, men and women who were students of color, first-generation students, who want to follow careers in science and medicine. We have the Posse Foundation, Mellon Mays Undergraduate Fellows Program, the LGBTQ Center. There are a whole host of new initiative centers that we have put into place over the last 4 years. We have also augmented with resources the connections that faculty and students have through student-faculty engagement funds, through more research funds, through the Residence Education Fellows Program that provides an opportunity for faculty to work with student leaders in the residence halls to create academic and co-curricular programs in the residence themselves. I'd like to tell people that 99% of our students live in the residences, which is one of the highest percentages of students living on any campus in this country. The campus also has seen a major transformation in terms of facilities. I like to say that when I came to Connecticut College 6 years ago, we had more of one thing than our peers, and that was deferred maintenance. And wasn't necessarily the best thing. But the campus, you know, we're talking about very selective, very elite, premier liberal arts colleges. And I think the appearance of the campus is absolutely critical to our success. And every day, the deferred maintenance clock keeps ticking. So if you don't catch up, you kind of, the hill gets taller and taller that you have to climb. Well, the good news here is that we have spent close to $60 million over the last 6 years in terms of the physical part of the campus. And now the issue is not so much how we catch up, but how we keep up, because we have caught up with our peers. And I think, frankly, that's a great accomplishment for our colleagues in terms of what we have done. And these are just some of the facilities that we have. We have our new science center that will be open in the fall, the fitness center. We have renovated with the latest technology a little over a third of the classrooms that have slated for renovation. All of the common rooms have been done. We have revamped many, many of the athletics fields, from the sailing venues to the loose center, hockey rink, new tennis courts. The list is quite extensive. We are going to do all of the locker rooms, lights on the turf field this summer. We have the Lear Center. Where is Linda? There she is. In a library, which is absolutely gorgeous. So there have been a lot of work that we have done around the campus, and that doesn't count all of the work that we do on a routine basis to invigorate the campus community. We're going to spend about $4 million away from any of the strategic work that we're doing on the Science Center or any of the major additions. We're going to spend about $4 million on the campus just this summer. Okay. I think a prime reason that we have been successful and that we're enjoying the momentum that we have is through our alumni and alumni. They have been a very important part of that. They have been very involved in the life of the campus, working with our students, mentoring, providing career advice, internships, permanent jobs, a whole host of things. You can see the various mechanisms that we have to connect our alumni and alumni to the campus. There is a lot more work that has gone on in the last 6 years in terms of providing contacts within the alumni groups themselves. We are doing speaker series. We're bringing alumni back to talk about specific careers and career panels. We're having job shadowing. We're doing more in terms of using technology as a facilitator to connect alumni amongst themselves and alumni with students. This is a picture of Jonathan McBride. He's the class of 92. He is the White House personnel director. And Jonathan has been here talking about his very unique career path, which was in the for-profit sector before he got to the White House. And Jonathan also has done a networking event down in D.C. at a very nice address on Pennsylvania Avenue. So, schools, an important part of our mission is to have influence, to have impact, to say, hopefully, all of what we're doing is really going to impact our students, impact our community, impact our graduates. And I think there are several different ways that we have measured exactly the influence of Connecticut College, the impact that we're having, the impact that the campaign is having on our institution. And this is just really a slice of that. From an admissions standpoint, our applications have grown tremendously over the last 6 years. We've reached a high point of well over 5,300. This year, because of that stayed at that level for 2 years, then come back a little bit this year, but every year the quality and diversity of our pool has grown. Our retention numbers are up, and as you well know from Connecticut College, our retention is at a very high level already, but we are doing even better than that. We've hired 50 faculty over the last 6 years. Many of those colleagues are replacement for colleagues who have retired, but there also have been selective additions because of changes in particular fields and other reasons. I am very proud of what we've accomplished on the student front. When I came to Connecticut College, I had a view that our students were every bit as good as the very best liberal arts colleges and universities in the land, and that our students had opportunities to achieve at the highest levels nationally. In the last 6 years, we've had a Rhodes finalist, multiple Truman finalists, multiple Marshall finalists. We've won Goldwaters, which is the highest honor for mathematics and science, national recognition. We've won several NSF grants. But one of the areas that I guess I'm the proudest of is our success in the Fulbrights. A very, very rigorous competition, as you well know. These nine pictures here are the nine students who won Fulbrights this year. That's a wow. That's a wow. To give you a comparative frame of reference, now it's really hard for me to stay around the microphone here because I like to really walk on this one. But to give you a comparative frame of reference, we've had 34 Fulbrights over the last 6 years. In the prior six-year period, and this has come with real focus, we've dedicated some resources to this. In the last 6 years prior to my arrival, we had nine in total. We have won two critical language scholarships this year, one to Russia and one to South Korea. We have a Mortimer Hayes Art Fellowship. You probably don't know that. That is a very rigorous competition. There are only three of them. We won one. The other two recipients were from schools that really don't stack up to Connecticut College. I'll mention them, Harvard and Yale, but. And we have been a multiple recipient of the Davis Projects for Peace. Pretty much every year we have one or two winners. And the Davis Projects, generally there are about a little less than 100 winners nationally for that very competitive award. Don't have to say more about the Fulbrights, other than probably the results that we've had. If we had them last year, we would have been in the top five schools in the country in terms of liberal arts colleges. We have over 200 students that graduates who have been members of the Peace Corps. That warms our hearts because Ann and I were in the Peace Corps after college. We've won the Simon Award for Campus Internationalization, which is, again, a national award that is awarded to both universities and liberal arts colleges, or colleges, for the internationalization of the student experience programs. The rest of these, I think you can see, we have routinely been a recipient of the President's Community Service Honor Roll, and I think it was a year or two ago that we achieved the distinction. Okay. We're getting the word out about Conn. And this is the traditional media. You can see up there, you probably can't see that there. It's Lee Higdon in the corner, but I've become a blogger. I'm not actually a very good blogger because I don't blog much. But the Huffington Post is a brand, and actually, I write about three or four pieces a year. Martha is very active in writing several pieces. And in fact, she is kind of the model out there. Martha Merrill, our dean of admissions, she's kind of the model out there for deans talking about any and all aspects of the admissions process. Again, not a very good publication, the New York Times is, you know. So we think up in the corner, you can't see him, is Stuart Weiss, who, you know, he's on TV, he writes books, he does everything. One of our faculty colleagues here, Joan Chrysler, is very, very, very active in terms of publications. Really, a whole host of our colleagues have done a great deal to bring media attention to the institution in the most positive way. Okay. We have the recipients of a number of gifts this year. We're very, very fortunate. One of the most recent gifts is a gift to purchase new and selectively replenish our pianos, our Steinway inventory, a little less than $1 million. That is a very, very nice gift for us because our arts programs really demand a great deal of resources. And this is a great gift and a very timely gift. And as we say, we're going to have an event in the fall to celebrate that. I just wish I could play the piano, but I can't. Okay, so bringing this all together, I hope you have an idea that the institution has a great deal of forward momentum, that we've made progress over the last 6 years. When I came here, there was a very, very strong, solid foundation. I said to the class of 62 last night that there are some things today that are as true today as they were in 1962, and I could go back even further, and that is that we have great faculty and staff who are dedicated to our students and their learning. And we really provide a very personalized, individualized form of education. It's expensive. It's high touch. But it's worth it because it produces great graduates who want to impact the world. And they do. I mean, you can look at the graduates from this institution in all walks of life in what they have done, and it's obvious that this education works. We are challenged in one respect at this particular point in time because the economy is very difficult, and there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And so we've had to contend with that, and we will continue to contend with that. I talked about one manifestation of that, which is financial aid. But I think we, representing the college, and I think I speak for the faculty, administration, the staff, and I actually think the students who are here, we have a great deal of confidence about the institution and its future, despite whatever the economy can throw at us. This is an institution that is proud that it's been an innovator in education. It's an institution that holds its core values as very, very important, but it is also an institution that has adjusted and adapted with the times. And I think we will do that, again, retaining those core principles that set Connecticut College apart. So I want to thank you. Ann and I look forward to seeing you at the rest of the weekend. It is not raining. It's what I told you. Weather is only a state of mind. And thank you very, very much.
On behalf of the entire Alumni Association of Connecticut College, we want to thank you, Lee Higdon, for your excellent leadership and guidance over the last several years, 6 years. We wouldn't be where we are today without you, so thank you. So as I was saying earlier, it's really great to see all of you here today. Reunion is a wonderful time. It's not my reunion year, unfortunately, but I'm glad that there are so many of you here to celebrate with your classmates. It's especially nice when we have alumni from around the world come back to join us. And today, a special pleasure to see alumni here from as far away as Australia, Germany, and the and the Netherlands. So where are you? What did you say?
Japan.
Oh, that's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Thank you very much for coming. I'd like to begin by recognizing the alumni from the class of 1942 who are here with us today to celebrate their 70th reunion. I believe there are 9 of you back with us today. Is that right? 7. Thank you so much for being here. We also have women here from the class of 1947, the 65th reunion, and the class of 1952 for their 60th. Will you ladies stand up? Wonderful to have you here. Please come back in 5 more years. Alumni of Connecticut College have kept pace with the momentum generated by last year's centennial by engaging with the college in new ways. Alumni attending events has continued to increase, and that doesn't include the amazing turnout of this weekend. We are offering many new opportunities for alumni to network with each other and with current students online, on campus, and around the world. Make a habit of checking in with the alumni website for details. Everybody online here? While you visit online, visit the college's Facebook page. Everybody on Facebook? You should be. It's fun. My class has a Facebook page, and your class may also. Go and check out the alumni website to find out if you do. And if you don't, I would encourage you all to set up a class Facebook page because you can be in touch with one another throughout the years, and it's really fun to stalk each other's pictures. And now I'm very pleased to recognize some of our outstanding alumni whose accomplishments distinguish our alma mater in so many ways. You heard about the student awards, and now we're going to recognize our alumni. All of the recipients, I've lost my little booklet, but all of the recipients are using their Connecticut College education in wonderful ways to improve the lives of others. They represent the tremendous activity each of you is engaging in your life. In honoring them today, we honor you. So your little booklet, if you'd open that up to the awards page, I will call the names of the recipients and ask them to please step forward. And I would like to ask the assistant, assisting me is Eric Kaplan, who is from the class of 1985, and he is the Alumni Association Vice President. If you'd come up, Eric. So the first award is the winner of the Harriet Busher Lawrence Class of 1934 Prize. And this award goes to Adam Boris from the Class of 2002. And today, because Adam is in Africa, we are very pleased to have Adam's parents, Laszlo and Nancy, accept his award on his behalf. Thank you for coming. The Agnes Berkeley Leahy Award, which is the oldest alumni award at Connecticut College, recognizes Carol Blake Boyd, class of 72. And unfortunately, Carol's not here, but, oh yes, she is. about that, Carol. You weren't sitting in your seat. Yeah, great to see you. There are two Mock Aram Awards this year. The Mock Aram Award, you'll note, is the Young Alumni Award given to alumni who've graduated within the last 15 years. We are presenting this award in memory of Connor Donahue, the class of 2007. Connor's parents, Patrick and Jane, are here to accept Connor's award. Thank you for being here. And we are also presenting the Mock Aram Award to Leslie Rosen, class of 2002. Woo! The Alumni Tribute Award honors Priscilla Gagas, class of 1987. I am very proud to present the Goss Award, which recognizes Deborah Murray Sloan, class of 67. And lastly, and for the first time, we are awarding the Alumni Association President's Award for Distinguished Service in Education. This special recognition is being awarded to Elizabeth Sue Rockwell Cesar, the class of 1952. You are a dedicated educator who served as headmistress of the Low Haywood School for 25 years, leading it through a merger with the Thomas School and spearheading the consolidation with the King School. These transitions required a skilled and steady hand at the tiller. You also served for 23 years on the board of the Ethel Walker School and have long been a vital source of knowledge and advice for Connecticut's independent schools. You've also been a deep thinker about education and found opportunities to create the kind of learning environments that you believed were best for students. You build partnerships and achieve consensus, and you are beloved by your students, faculty, and administrators alike. At Connecticut College, your loyalty and enthusiasm have been exemplified through your service as trustee, alumni board director, reunion chair, class agent chair, and reunion committee member. Your extraordinary dedication is an inspiration to us all. Sue, you have said that one of the hallmarks that distinguishes great schools is teachers who make a profound difference in the lives of their students. On the occasion of your 60th reunion, the Alumni Association Board of Directors recognizes you with pride and gratitude for your devotion to your alma mater and your unwavering commitment to the student experience. Thank you so much. So, just let's give this incredibly talented and wonderful group a big round of applause. For many of us, reunions are as much about reconnecting with faculty as they are with our classmates. And today we honor 8 professors who are celebrating milestone anniversaries with Connecticut College. I'd like to invite Roger Brooks, Dean of the Faculty, to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Welcome, everyone. I'm very happy to be with you here today. As Dean of the Faculty, I have the opportunity to meet with alumni often, and always my meetings are marked with a single common experience. I'll ask something like, what was your major? And I'll hear, as I did yesterday, government, Marjorie Dilley. Right? And the, right. So the way you as students think about and alumni think about your faculty and your work here is to remember and love to share those stories about favorite faculty members. Deep intellectual connections between faculty and students, as well as social connections, friendships, have been a hallmark of the Connecticut College education since our founding now 101 years ago. Faculty teach here because they love their disciplines, and they love helping students get excited about their subjects. The faculty cherish the kinds of relationships that they can build with students. And the relationships that we as faculty have with you alumni are the most enriching parts of our lives, I think, at the college. So on behalf of the faculty, thank you for what each of you as alumni have brought to that equation. And I'm going to ask this year's faculty honorees to step forward as I call their names and remain standing at the front of the room. So, for 30 years of service at the college, Blanche Boyd in English. There may be something about the English department for 30 years of service at the college, Julie Rifkin in English. For 25 years at the college, Joan Chrysler in psychology. Professor Kathleen McKeon in mathematics. 20 years at the college, Professor Marianne Borelli in the government and international relations department. We're also recognizing, although I don't see him here, Jeff Bresnahan in athletics for 20 years at the college. And Leslie Brown in geophysics. Astrophysics. It's actually physics and astronomy. It says geophysics here. And geophysics. Thank you. Interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary. Also 20 years at the college, T. Paige Owen in botany. The work of the college doesn't happen without the dedicated faculty that put so much of their effort into everything that happens here day by day, week by week. So I know you've just applauded for each of them. Let's applaud them and the faculty as a whole. Thank you.
And now it is my pleasure to introduce Greg Waldron, Vice President for College Advancement.
Thank you, Connie. It's a very tough act to follow, but I'm up to it. Lee talked about the impact that the campaign is having on this institution, and I have the pleasure to share some of the impact that you're having on the campaign and on this institution. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the highlights of the reunion effort this year and the role that you all have played. I think reunions represent an opportunity for us to reconnect with each other, as well as to support the institution in a meaningful way. You, the members of the classes celebrating this year, have raised over $17 million since your last reunion. This tremendous level of support propels the campaign toward its finish line and shows the strength of our community of support. During that time, you've raised over $4.5 million through the annual fund, nearly $10 million in capital gifts, including the new Science Center, over $3 million in planned gifts, and nearly 70% of you have supported this institution during that time. That's an incredible, incredible achievement. As a group, you're on pace to break our annual fund reunion goals. The class of 62 has raised over $300,000. And you're just nine donors away from your participation goal, which will secure an additional $300,000 in a match from an anonymous classmate. The class of 1982 surpassed its goal, exceeding the class of 1981, and has raised more than $450,000 through the annual fund. And the class of 2007, do we have the members of the class of 2007? The class of 2007 has achieved somewhat of a triple crown. You, the class of 2007, have broken the attendance record with over 150 classmates returning to campus. You have broken the participation goal with 45% of your class participating. And you've achieved a new level of support for the fifth reunion class with over $35,000 raised. Congratulations to all of you. Now it's time to discuss the hardware over here, the silver bowls. The silver bowls on the table to my left honor two renowned class agents who care deeply about supporting the college, C.B. Rice, class of 1931, and Ann Crocker Wheeler, class of 34. The winners of these awards are based on the year-end results. And since the year doesn't end until June 30th, things can happen. But I'll give you a little preview. The class of 1962 is in the lead. I'll have to say the slim lead over the class of 1957, not to produce any competition, for the C.B. Rice Award, C.B. Rice Class of 1931 Award, for the class with the highest participation. Stands right now at 77%. In the 10th reunion class, the class of 2002, is the leader for the Ann Crocker Wheeler Class of 34 award for the greatest percentage increase in the number of classmates supporting Connecticut College. That's 1934. That's 34%. These are just some of the examples of the tremendous support and the community of support that you make, that help make this an extremely special place. Connecticut College will be a very different institution without you. And so on behalf of all of us here, I thank you. Now, it's my pleasure. I'd like to just take a moment to recognize someone very special to all of us. Connie Gemmer is graduating. I think that's appropriate. Is stepping down as our president of the Alumni Association Board of Directors. No, I have plenty to say, but I'll keep it brief. Connie's energy, enthusiasm, love of Connecticut College was visible today, and it's been felt during her time on the board. And you have helped make this and continue to make this an extremely special place. So on behalf of all of us,
thank you.
A small token of our appreciation.
Thank you all. It's a wonderful place, Connecticut College. You are my people. Thank you.
Now I have the distinct honor of closing this august group, this august gathering. But before I do, I'd like to share a little housekeeping. The class of 1952 luncheon will be in the Harris Atrium, no longer on Larrabee Green. The class of 1962 will be upstairs in the 1941 room. And the classes of 42 and 47 will be in the Crow's Nest, again, upstairs. Everyone else is invited to gather under the tent on Temple Green for a delicious luncheon together. Please enjoy the rest of the weekend. Bring that sunshine of spirit to ward off this weather, as Lee said, a state of mind, and enjoy this weekend.